welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
So we're going to look a little bit this morning, just briefly, at what baptism is about. Just a little bit of baptism. Now, was anybody here at our last baptism service back in June? Yeah. So you may remember I'd had to call upon a friend of mine, the professionally trained Roy, professional baptized example giver. And Roy, he demonstrated something of baptism in going in the water. Now, he did have to complain to me afterwards that I did leave him in there a little too long. And though he can hold his breath for 8 minutes, it was 7:59, it was cutting it close. So I've said, Roy, don't worry, you're not going to have to go in very long this time, because there was something that Roy showed us about baptism being washed, being made clean. But there's something that Roy just can't show us, because if we, are you ready, Roy? Hold your breath. Okay, if Roy goes in, we watch, he goes in the water of baptism, he's very wet, but it's only wet on the outside. So Roy, thank you very much. Take a bow. Very good. Can we have a little round of applause for Roy? I'm going to lie you down there, Roy. So I had to call on another friend to help me show something else that baptism represents. This is Bob. Can you see what I did there? He's made of sponge. So this is Bob. Now, Bob can show us something. He has a very special skill that he can show that Roy can't. Are you ready? So, Bob, are you ready? Okay, excellent. As Bob goes into the water of baptism, something... Oh, dear, I put a little too much water in here. I'm sorry. Everyone has to clean this up afterwards. When Bob goes into the water of baptism, not only does he get wet on the outside, but as he goes in, I'm going to give him a little bit of a squeeze, he comes out again absolutely filled with, drenched with, overflowing with everything that's gone on here. Yeah. And this is a picture of baptism. The word baptism actually means to submerge and be completely filled with. And this is what's happened with Bob. So if you go up to Trevor or Paulie after the service and congratulate them on everything that, you know, everything that God's done, and celebrate with them, you give them a big squeeze, that will be happening in the Spirit. Now, what's brilliant, and Bob shows us this really well, is that after we've been baptized, God wants to continue to fill us. So it's not we have to go back and get baptized again the next week, because what he fills us with is his Spirit. So Bob here is just getting filled up, and he's squeezed full, and it overflows, and it drenches the people around him like Roy, and then he gets filled up again. And because Bob here knows... will you stand up? If I squeeze some out, I think he'll stand up. Yeah. So Bob here knows that he wants to be so completely filled, flooded with everything that Jesus got for him, that it's almost like there's very little of Bob left. That it's, in fact, there's nothing of Bob left except that which just holds what God has done in him. So thanks, Bob. That's a great example for us. And you might be thinking to yourself, like, That's great for these guys. They want something of God that completely covers them, floods them, and fills them so completely there's none of them left, only Jesus. But you might be thinking, that's fine for them, but I don't want Jesus. Maybe I don't believe in Jesus. Or maybe if I did believe in Jesus, I don't like Jesus. And I could tell you that's exactly where I would have been when I was 17 if I was sat in your position. And so we're going to look at a little bit of maybe the why, or what's going on there. And for this, I'm going to need a couple of people to help me. Now, have we got any young people? Okay, I just want to say, if any young people are going to help me with this, I need explicit permission from your grown-ups, because I don't want to get in any trouble, and you also must have no allergies. Because I found this at the back of my cupboard. Can everyone see what it is? Yeah. It is a can of Whiskers with salmon in jelly, 1+ years cat food. I don't have a cat, so I have no idea where this came from. Also, the sell-by date, if cat food has a sell-by date, has definitely worn off. But somebody once told me that this, what's in here, is really tasty. Oh. Now, how many here, show of hands, have a cat? How many of you therefore feed your cats? Hopefully everybody who has a cat keeps their hand up that I feed my cats. Has anyone ever poured out from your cat food into the bowl or your biscuits and thought, they look good? Can I just have a show of hands, just out of curiosity, has anyone tried cat food? Okay, we have surprisingly more than I thought we would have. Now, I noticed something a little while ago, that there is nothing on here that says not suitable for human consumption. And if you look at the ingredients, it all looks like, you know, it's mostly okay stuff. Now, I'm not sure exactly what's in here, but there's no reason I can see why we shouldn't be okay to eat it. So, I've got a dare. In fact, anyone who's willing, I actually have quite a lot of spoons. So, have I got anybody here who'd be willing to take me up on my dare to try some cat food? Don't all rush at once.
Is it jelly or gravy?
It's in jelly.
No.
If it was in gravy, yeah. So do I have nobody who's willing to try this? Is that a young person at the back? Is that with a hand raised? Is that with 100% complete permission from your grown-up? Or is that a parent? I can't tell.
Lee wants to do it.
Lee, are you up for it? Come on down, Lee.
I give you that sauce to go with it.
Have I got any ketchup? Yeah. No, I don't. So you hold on to that. Okay.
Hey, well done. Let man go first.
What's your name?
Ben.
Ben. Ben, where is your grown-up? Grown-up, can you tell me 100%, is this okay? No allergies? You're not going to sue me? Okay, great. Lovely. Okay, can you just listen for the fresh seal? Oh, there it is. Oh. I'm going to take this off because I don't want anyone to, like, get cut or anything. Okay, fantastic. Where are your spoons?
You've got one. You're going to try it off.
Okay, you ready? Now, we're all going to get a bit...
Not too much.
Oh, it's gone hard. Is cat food normally hard?
No. I don't... It's normally soft.
It's normally soft. Oh, this might have been in there a while longer than I thought. Ooh.
Oh, no.
Okay, if I give you that bit, if you just hold on to the spoon for now...
Are you for real? I'll tell you... Oh, my goodness.
Okay, if I give you that bit, if I have your spoon, all careful, don't drop it on the floor, it stains. There we go. Good, get out. There we go. Okay, and if I get a bit, oh, it's not supposed to be this firm, really.
No, it's not.
Okay, because now I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do. So, after three, ready, 3, 2, 1.
Quite nice, isn't it?
It does taste nice.
It's actually a lot better than I was expecting. Is there anyone else who's up for trying this? Yeah, more hands going up. Yeah, I thought there would be.
That's toffee, isn't it?
I'll have a couple. Sure, I'll tell you what.
Finish it.
Oh, Pastor Clive, where have you gone? Oh, he's changing. Jane, would you like to try some? You sure? 100%. Just a little bit.
Nice.
Here, let me get you just a tiny bit.
Can I have a smaller bit than that?
No, it'll be fine.
It tastes really nice, it's fine. But it's toffee.
Toffee.
Can I have a cuss?
No, it is.
That is amazing.
What did I tell you? I told you.
That is amazing.
And there you were thinking that salmon in jelly would be disgusting. It's really nice, right? Really nice. All agreed. Yep. Can I have a big round of applause for all of my willing volunteers? Now, excuse me, I just need a quick glass of water. It was nice, but it's a little bit cloying. The reason this is so nice is because it's not actually cat food. So it was a little bit of a fib, but it was to demonstrate something. Because of the label on this can, you assumed there was something inside that you wouldn't want, right? Nobody wants to eat cat food. Who would want to eat cat food? It's gross. By the way, any children, don't eat cat food. This is not really cat food. Cat food is bad. You shouldn't eat it. Any parents, I'm sorry. Don't eat cat food. This isn't cat food. Though the label on it made you think something of it, actually the contents was really good. This is actually mushed up Mars bars. And if I serve these maybe rather than in a can of cat food, if I put them maybe stuffed into a banana wrapped in foil and barbecued it, you'd be like, oh, this is lovely. But because of the label on the outside, something that you read on the outside, you thought, that's something I don't want to try. That's not for me. I'm just putting this down because it's going to look weird otherwise if I'm just kind of walking around with a can of cat food the whole time. So this wrong label, we sometimes... Pastor Clive, would you like to try some cat food?
Yes.
You sure? It's really nice. So sometimes what we do with God is we put a label on him. And maybe, like me, I told you this story of what this cat food was and where it's from, and it made you have this idea of what it was going to be like. And in the same way, we can hear something about something, or we can get an impression of who God is that's not the contents at all. It's nothing like what he's really like. But we hear this thing, or we see this thing, and we label this thing on him, and we say, God is like that, and therefore I don't want him. Now, this kind of picture we can create, it can come from anything. Maybe we hear that God is a father. Maybe you didn't have a great natural father. Maybe he was a bit of a bully. And so you think, why would I want God? Because fathers are bullies, and God's a father, therefore God's a bully. I don't want him. But that's not the character of God or the nature of God at all. Or maybe you've been in a church and somebody's offended you, or the church has done something that's hurt you, and you think, how can the God of that church be something I want? But it's not, it doesn't change the character of God. It's not who he is. But somebody at some point along the line has misrepresented something to you in the same way that I misrepresented the contents of this can and said, this is what it is, but it's not what it was. In the same way that we can do that with God so often. And I think, even myself, now I'm not out to swindle anyone or lie to anyone, or my heart is for people's best, and hopefully I encourage and, you know, serve and all those things. But I know sometimes I make mistakes, I let people down. I know sometimes I get a bit grumpy and I say something that I shouldn't have. I know that sometimes I say something out of my own thoughts rather than something that God said. And I just imagine in that moment when I communicate something that's just not quite God's heart to somebody, that the hand that holds the universe meets the forehead that spans dimensions, and there's a cosmic face palm as God goes, oh, Colin, that's not really what I wanted you to communicate to that person. That's not my heart for them. I love them more than you do. I love them more than you're expressing right now. And so I misrepresent God, even with the best of intentions, we all do. But I would ask that we never let these lies of this is who God is get in the way of us tasting something that is amazing, can change lives.
Amen.
Now, if I were to look really closely at the contents listed on this label, even if it was even the right label, if it was actually said Mars bars, then I'd find soya lecithin and emulsifiers and nougat and, I don't know, raising agents and E1532 and E173 and a lot of more E numbers and all those things. Even if I read about the cocoa solids and the cocoa butter and all those things in detail, I wouldn't really know how it tasted. I still wouldn't know. I'd have a rough picture. And so to help demonstrate that, I wrote a book. This is called The Book of Kate. Now, my wife, Kate, she sat at the back there. Love her dearly. I wrote down in this book everything there is to know about her. Everything she's ever done. Everything. Like, just everything. We could start off. The first few pages are, like, vital statistics. So it's, you know, it says her height and her weight. I'll skip over that one. And her hair colour, eye colour, all those kind of things, you know. It describes her perfectly. You know, you could put her in a lineup and you go, yeah, I know which one she is. Flick forward a few chapters. We've got, likes and dislikes. Here, favourite foods. Chocolate. Milk chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate. So this could take a while. Let me skip on forward a few pages. Chocolate cake, chocolate mousse. It's a silly favourite. Likes and dislikes. Bol de chocolat. Chocolatine. I'm just going to skip to the end of the book, you know. Oh, we've got anecdotes. I could tell you all the kind of the things that are funny, amusing things that have happened to her. Like, I could tell you about, it says here, can sometimes be a little clumsy. And one time when she was at university, she thought she would go downstairs carrying her laptop with books balanced on top and a chair downstairs, which were very narrow. Of course, she made it about two steps before she ended up tumbling down the stairs. A scream goes out. All her housemates run out to find her tumbled with legs sticking out everywhere, bits of chair around, and a broken laptop on the floor. All these funny things about her, but we could also know that she laughs them off. We'd also find out that she has a neck of steel, because that definitely should have ended a lot worse than it did. We could flick forward a little bit and we could read all about how she is compassionate, she is loving, she is caring, she is just wonderful. But if you read this whole book, cover to cover, memorized it in detail, you might be able to tell me all about her, but you'll never know her like I do. Unless you met her for yourself and formed your own relationship with her, you would never know what it means to relate to her. You would never know in your own experience who she really is. And it can be the same with God. We can label him and say, I don't want that. Or we can hear something about him. Or we can make a decision or an estimation of what he's like. But unless we meet with him for ourselves, we get to know him, we never really know what it's like. And that's part of my testimony. You know, before I was a Christian, I was 17. I thought at 17 you do that I knew everything there was to know in the world and everything to know about Christianity and God and everything else. And I decided I don't want him. I saw hypocrisy in the church. I saw a lack of love. I saw all of these things, the things that people have done because people are not perfect. And I labeled God like that. And I thought, I don't want to know God. But it took a friend of mine daring me to challenge me, said, I dare you to be a Christian for a month. And so I stopped all the arguments, all those kind of things. I said, okay, bring it on, let's do this. And I started to listen. And for the first time, it was like that label was taken off. And I said, okay, you draw the picture. You show me what God is like. Even to the point where we talked about prayer and who Jesus was, all these kind of things. He said, why don't you try it for yourself? So I closed my eyes like this and I bowed my head thinking, this is how people pray. And I said, Lord, I was asking God, you show me what you're like. And as I said that one word, my whole life changed because God revealed himself. I had this incredible experience, having never been in a church, never been at a meeting, never had anyone pray for me, that, you know, with me there or anything like that. Suddenly, this God that I didn't even think I believed in just blew the doors off my life. But it took a change of label. It took a change of saying, okay, I'm going to hold that at arm's length and I'm going to see what it's really like. And there's this great verse in the Old Testament that says, taste and see that God is good. And you might kind of, this morning, have seen what was going on in the baptisms. And for you, and forgive this crude example, it was like a bunch of people eating cat food. You're like, what are they doing? Why would they be doing that? Why would they want this God in their lives? But what you haven't realized is that it's not cat food. It's something that they've tasted that is so good, they're willing to give everything that they have for it. And I want to issue the same dare to you that my friends issued to me. I want to give you a challenge. If you don't know God and you've got a label of him or an idea of, I think God is like this, then I dare you to find out what he's really like. Because I guarantee you, if everybody in the world knew what God was really like and what he wanted for us and what he'd done for us, there wouldn't be a single person that wouldn't want him. So like a silly dare of, will you try this? It's not what you think. This deadly serious dare of, will you try Jesus? Because I guarantee he's not what you think. Or not what you've thought. He's better. He's exceedingly, abundantly, over and above everything we could imagine of how good he is. Amen. And I just want to communicate just before we end that I'm not saying this because I think Jesus has had a bad rap and he's my mate and I want you to know that he's a good guy. Because some of these labels, these lies, actually, of who Jesus is, one of the worst ones is, I don't need God. There's like this big label slapped on his chest that says, I don't need you. So when he comes and says, do you want the life I've got for you? We say, no, I don't need you. But this is a lie, because as good as God is and as amazing as relationship is with him, as well as that, we need him. In fact, we can't know life without him. And part of my testimony of when I became a Christian is before, up to that point where God revealed something of himself to me, I was struggling myself with things in my life that I knew weren't good for me, weren't right, and I tried to stop them. I tried to put an end to them, and I found I was powerless to do anything of myself. But when Jesus stepped into my life and showed me that he was the way, he was the truth, he was the life, he was the one who could, who had dealt with all my sin, my failings, my shame, my guilt, all of these things, then I realized, man, I don't want my old life. I don't want my trying to do it in my own strength. I want everything that you've got. Yeah. And that is what these guys have demonstrated in baptism this morning.
Amen.
That they're, if they've tasted something so good, not Mars bars, but of God, that's so good that even though it costs them everything to take hold of it, they count it as nothing. They count it as rubbish. The old life was rubbish compared to this glorious life of knowing Jesus. So that's my challenge to you this morning. And if you're a Christian, if you're here this morning, part of the church, and like you already know God, then I want to challenge us as well, that even though we already know God, do we ever put a label on him ourselves? Do we ever, in a certain area of the way that we know him, say, oh, God can't deal with this? Well, I don't know, whether it's sickness or whether it's shame or whether it's a certain sin or whether it's or whatever it might be, that we label him and say, God, I know you're loving, I know you're kind, I know you're all these things, but in this area, there's like this mislabel bit, that God can't do this or whatever. That this morning we deal with that, we say, God, would you just tear that off? Tear off the label and let me taste and see that you are good and that you seek my highest good. So I would love if we could just stand right now, everyone, get to our feet and respond to what God wants to do in our hearts right now. Because he's always wanting to build relationship with us, reveal himself to us in a deeper and deeper way if we're willing to go with what he's got for us. So let's just pray right now. And I'd ask, guys, if you know Jesus, just pray right now for those who don't. And I ask you, if you don't know Jesus right now, I want to pray, and I'll, as an encouragement to you, pray something like this. Pray in your own words. Jesus, I don't want to label you anymore. I want to know what you're really like.
Yeah.
Jesus, I want to taste and see that you are good. I want to taste for myself and experience it for myself. Would you, I want to give you my heart, I'll give you an opportunity to reveal yourself to me. And I want to invite you in your power to just come and overwhelm my life. Show me that you are worth giving everything else up for. Reveal it to me, Jesus, please. And even though I don't know everything that there is to know about you yet, or what it all means, or what the cross is about, or anything like that, Jesus, I just want you, and I want to know more about you. Father, would you teach me what it means, what the cross means? And teach me what it means to have my sins forgiven, that, Lord, I'd give my whole life to you in Jesus' name. And if you pray something like that, or if you're just there thinking, I want to know more about God, I want to take the time to go through with you what that means. What does the cross mean? What does salvation mean? What does it mean to give my life to Jesus? What is baptism really all about? I would love to go through with you that God doesn't just have a relationship with us, he also sets us free. He heals us. He brings deliverance, freedom. All of those things, I want to explain it to you so that you can go, now I understand who he is. And I can't see how anyone who, when you discover how good he is and what he's done for us, you wouldn't want him. So I would ask right now, if there's anyone here who, like, you'd be up for taking some time, you want to know who God is in a better way, and you don't know him yet, I'd ask you to just put your hand up and we can meet after and we can find a date and we can go through that. So if that's you, would you put your hand up right now so I just know and we can meet up together? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Anyone else? Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. If there is anybody, then I would encourage you to go onto the Kingdom Faith website and listen to Pastor Collins' message from last week, which explains so much of what Jesus has done on the cross. Or come and find me after. Now, for all of us, Father, who know you and we've mislabeled you in an area, let's just pray right now. Father, thank you that those labels, those lies get torn off. Yes. That, Father, we know that you are good enough, big enough. Yes. That, Father, your name is above every name. That, Jesus, there's nothing you cannot do. That, Jesus, we would not miss out on something that you've got for us because of a mislabeling or a misinterpretation or a lie or offense in our heart. Father, would you tear it off? And, Father, let your glory and your goodness burst through into areas of our life that before have been in darkness. Father, thank you for your goodness flooding every part in every way in Jesus' name. thank you, Jesus. And if I could leave us with one last encouragement, it would be this. In the Old Testament, it says, taste and see that God is good. In the New Testament, Jesus says, if you're a Christian, then you are salt and light. Salt, one of the things it does is helps bring out the taste of something. And light helps us see. So my challenge is to all of us, if people have got a mislabeling of who God is, let us be the salt and light that helps them taste and see what he's truly like.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.